Shut up and sit down.
Live, raw, unedited. Dr. Deb and Dana coming at you from Studio D in Wilmington, Philadelphia Metro. You are listening to the Eat Clean, Think Dirty show. The views expressed here are simply opinions and not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any of your problems. Listen at your own risk.
And we're on. We're back.
We are.
2 weeks, baby. I cannot believe we missed two flipping weeks.
I know. We should actually give an explanation for that.
Right. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. We're going to free flow a little bit here.
Yeah. So this is Dana Myers here. I'm here with Dr. Deb Leno.
Dr. Deb Leno. Yes.
So the first week, my gosh, I feel like we need just like lots of apologies because I swore we would never miss a week, but here we missed two.
And this is the first time.
Like, life happens, and life happened.
Yeah, so that first week I was preparing for this talk, and of course, you know, I oftentimes, my strategy for that is usually I have all this, you know, let's say I have 2 months to do something. I spend the first 6 weeks in thought. Uh-huh. Okay, and slowly starting to do some research.
I watched you through this process.
Yes, yeah. And then as time gets closer and the anxiety goes up, I start to, you know, start pulling things together because I know that this isn't always the best thing to do, but I work very well in
under pressure.
Under
yeah,
pressure.
That's just the way you are.
Yeah, so that's what happened, and I think it was...
Well, what talk? Why don't you tell people? It was... That? For people who don't know,
well, it was that Monday that we were supposed to, you know, have a podcast, and I was in total anyway research mode because my talk was in like 2 days from then, or 3 days from then. So it was the TEDx talk, and it was
in Wilmington on the 16th of February.
On the 16th of February, and it was titled "Technology and the Extinction of Romance: Dissecting Love."
And you fucking killed it.
Thank you.
I swear to God, I watched you kind of freaking out. I mean, if I can just be blunt with the audience, I mean, you were like, I don't know. What am I going to do? And the topic kept changing and the title was, you know, it was like, it was up in the air for a little bit, right?
And very, very much so.
So I got there and I was like, oh shit, you know, mm-hmm. And then you got up on stage and it was like nothing was ever a problem because you were perfect. I was really blown away, I have to tell you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah,
you know, that happens when I give a big talk, okay? Like I start to overthink things, I start to forecast things, and that topic was something that was very, very difficult for me for a number of different reasons. Primarily is because I've got 1,000 ideas, okay, and I could have taken it all over the place. And even in that talk, you saw that I started going into epigenetics. Before that, I had things about attachment style, and you know, these are all separate talks,
right? But it flowed.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Really,
because,
good.
Well, that was part of that process, is how am I going to get all of this connected? Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was freaking out about, because it was like, okay, I know all of these are connected. How am I going to deliver it in a way that other people are going to understand that it is all connected? Because it got deep,
you know,
for a little bit there. And, so I'm actually glad it's over, and the video will come out probably sometime in the beginning of March.
Right, so people can catch it where?
Well,
YouTube?
Definitely, I'll put it on my Facebook page. It'll be on the Eat Clean Think Dirty page.
Oh, yeah. Great.
And we'll talk about it. And, you know, one of the podcasts will definitely say when it's out.
Okay,
and
so they can't catch it right now anywhere.
They can't catch it right now.
And was it broadcast anywhere or just recorded?
That's a good question.
Somebody said like NPR carries TED Talks.
I heard that NPR carried
TEDx. They did?
I heard that NPR carried it. Yes. Several of the interviews that I did backstage, like on WHYY and several magazines, they're out. They came out. So that was kind of cool.
Okay.
It was a good experience. It always is fun. I mean, the first TED talk that I did, you know, I went through the same process, and you know, but and then when I get on stage like that, it's a high for me.
Yeah, it clicks. Like
it clicks. It just, does. And yeah. I'm
sitting here with a bona fide fucking rock star, guys.
Oh
no, I am. She was amazing.
Thank you. I feel like I did good, but I could have done better.
You did well.
Yeah. Okay. I did well. The grammar police. I know what I'm capable of. That wasn't it. But it was a good talk. And as far as I'm concerned, it was an idea worth spreading. So I accomplished what I needed to accomplish and, you know, nothing more. The first one I did was off the wall.
Okay.
I mean, it was funny, it was complicated, it was way longer than it mm-hmm. should have been, but you know, I chose to do something in a little bit more of a serious mode and not do too much like walking the stage and, you know,
right,
really
like breaking the
it.
Rules of Ted,
like breaking the rules,
right.
Yeah, which I think I did do a little bit of walking, but
a tiny bit,
yeah.
Were
I really
you, were
tried.
You allowed to squat at the end because you did?
No, I was not. allowed to do that. Yes. And
so if you look at Deb's profile picture right now, it's her squatting on the TEDx stage.
And what I remember saying, because at that point I was in a zone and I didn't even know what I was saying. I was just flowing with the knowledge that I had. And I said, I remember saying, pull those cameras in close. Yeah. This is something you want to hear or something uh-huh. like that. And I'm like, afterwards, I was like, fuck, should I have said that? Like, huh. Like, am I demanding cameras to, like, watch me?
All eyes on me, bitch.
All eyes on me, biatch. So anyway, I'm glad it's over. So that was one of the things that kept us from doing a podcast, and I will take full responsibility for that because I was not available,
right.
Okay, to Dana, which I apologize for.
That's okay. Life happens.
Yeah. And then the second...
Well, let me back up because it was really funny while I was watching, while I was waiting in the... When I first got to the Queen Theater, mm-hmm. they weren't ready for everybody to join down in the theater. So they diverted all the people who were in line to the cafe. Mm-hmm. So I went to the cafe, which has a bar, and I grabbed a glass of wine, and I hear, Dana, Dana. And I turn around, and this woman that I don't know is approaching me. And she's like, and I was a little, I mean, I won't say I'm freaked out because she was a nice looking woman and everything, mm-hmm. but I was just like, I don't
Ooh,
know
she
this
was
person.
Nice looking.
You know what I mean? Just like,
yes.
She didn't look crazy.
Yeah. Well, she is a nice looking woman.
And she was like, I feel like, and she introduced herself and I was like, okay. And she's like, I'm a fan of the show. And I have to say that was the first time I've ever been like really called out. And actually, no, it's the second time, one time in the nail salon.
Yeah.
But, the first time somebody was just like talking about the show and I'm such a big fan and I listen to you every Monday and I missed you guys this Monday and I had to apologize for it and explaining to her why, which was particularly the night we were there. And then she's asking me all these questions mm-hmm. based on her knowledge of us and particularly me. You know, it's like, how's your new apartment? And I was like, wow, I guess people were like, we do talk about ourselves here.
Yeah.
It was pretty
yeah.
funny. And it was like a shot in reality. And then when we got into the theater, she invited me to sit at the table, which is why I was sitting nice and close to you.
I'm glad
yeah,
that you
yeah,
all
beautiful people
got together. Yes,
yeah.
they are very beautiful people. And yeah, I was very happy to see that connection there. I saw it out of the corner of my eye when I was giving that talk.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, so then we miss a second week.
Right, so the second week
is my fault. This one is my fault.
It's well, I'll blame my daughter, but really it's my fault. My daughter was coming into town, and like her favorite band was touring, still are. Her favorite band is We the Kings. And we have lifetime tickets and meet and greet because we had helped them raise money for an album that they put out a couple years ago. And that was one of the perks. So we go to concerts as much as we can. And this particular tour, they were going to Baltimore and Philly. And Jess is like, they're not touring down south, you know, that I can get to. And I said, well, we'll just fly you up. You know, it'll be nice for you to get home. And she was really stressed out the previous week. So it was a really nice, you know, break for her. And I flew her up you know, so all of that excitement around, you know, having her come up and, you know, sometimes just during the week, you and I can't get together. It's usually mm-hmm. on the weekends, but that weekend was my Jess weekend. Mm-hmm. And so it was like Saturday was family day and then Sunday was concert day. We went to Baltimore. And it was a really, really exciting day because on Wednesday, the prior week, our good friend who also is going to the concert with us, Caroline, her boyfriend messages me on Facebook. He's like, you don't know me, but, you know, I'm Caroline's boyfriend. Are you the person that we're going to the concert with on Sunday? And I said, yeah. And I said, what can I do for you? And he's like, I'm going to propose to Caroline on Sunday at the concert. Ooh. Can you help? Aww. So, you know, I guess he kind of knew that we have a somewhat of an in with the band because they're familiar with us because we've mm-hmm. been to so many concerts. And they at least know us by name. And I know, you know, I have the tour manager's phone number so that we can, you know, get our tickets and stuff like, you know, be at will call. So I was like, I'll do my best, you know, we'll see if we can get the band involved. And I texted the tour manager and he was like, yep, I'm on it. And from that point on, it was amazing. We got to Baltimore. The tour manager meets us outside the venue. And then he was like, let's plan what's going to happen. And here's what we were thinking. And then he's like, oh, screw it. Come on in. You know, come on in the venue. And then in there is like, you know, some of the band members and lead singer. And my daughter was like, there's the lead singer. Cool. You know, so she's sitting there talking to him and we're all planning this whole thing. And it was just kind of surreal mm-hmm. and amazing and, you know, making my daughter's dreams come true. And it was just
and a
friend really
of yours
great day.
And, come true.
And seriously, like Caroline has loved this band for 10 years, ever since they've been in existence. So for her, she's always been asking her boyfriend to propose to her at a We the Kings concert. So what he told her was, no, babe, that's trashy. I'm never doing that. So in her mind, like, that was never happening. So when she showed up later in the day, she had no idea, no clue that
and
was
it was done
happen.
On stage.
And not only right? that, but it was funny because the band... We kind of were just like, you know, we can do it at meet and greet. We can just, you know, we don't want to ask too much because mm-hmm. we don't really like, oh, yeah, let's get on stage. That's like interrupting your fucking concert. Like, yeah. That's not cool. Like, they're not a little band, you know, mm-hmm. like, yeah. They're legit. So and you know, Travis is like, he's the lead singer. He's like, no, we're not doing it at meet and greet. We're doing it on stage. And I was like, oh, God, this is great. You know, so he's like, I got it all planned and. You know, we're gonna do like their first engagement song. There's like a disco ball, so I figured like talk to the lighting guy, and they're gonna like make the disco ball come down, and we're gonna. And I was just like, you seriously planned all this? All we asked was, can the band somehow be involved? And then from there on out, the band took it upon themselves to make this whole plan happen, and that was just like big, big smiles from me and from Jess, and like.
And I love the fact that. That the boyfriend, now fiancé, mm-hmm. Actually reached out to some of her friends
yeah.
to help with this process.
Yeah, well, I think initially he told me that he tried to contact the lead singer by, mm-hmm. you know, like Facebook message. And, of course, you know, like, what are the chances? Because I'm sure, like, 10,000 girls are also messaging him.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure that goes into the other folder in Facebook, and nobody's going to see that. But, you know, so he was like, hey, can you help? And I was like, yeah, I'll do my best. But my best ended up being, like, freaking perfection. And
yeah.
They pulled us up on stage towards the end of the concert. And at that point, Caroline knew, but no point before that did she know. And it was really awesome.
Yeah.
It was, we were smiling for, I swear, days. And it kind of like renewed my faith and love a little bit, you know, like the little hard-hearted, jaded Dana came out of her shell for a second, you know.
So you had a little restoration with love. Now, while you were there, and there's magic happening, and it's surreal and all of that, and then when you get home, did Dana crawl back into her shell?
It took a couple days, but I have to admit that, yeah, because then I started working. I worked so many hours this week after I brought Jess back to the airport, and it was just kind of like the same old, same old, same old.
So you crawled back into your shell.
Well, there might be a little crack. I don't know.
Instead of thinking, okay, the little crack is good, because sometimes cracks will turn into like, you know, gaping holes. But so So that little crack is open with regards to you thinking that love is possible now.
No, well, love is possible.
Oh.
It was just, you know, I mean, it was all these people coming together to make the wishes and dreams of this one person come true, you know, and it's because we just all love her so much. So it was like friend love and boyfriend love, you know, that kind of thing, the love between
Well, I don't think
them.
You have any issue with friend love.
No.
But maybe some with like man love or love, relationship love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hesitation. Sure.
Some hesitation. I'm a hopeless romantic.
I know. See, we're opposite.
It's okay.
You're brunette. I'm blonde. You're romantic. I'm not.
I love the fact that experience, not only was it an amazing experience on so many levels as you're describing, but that there was a little switch in you. And, you know, life experiences can do that. You know, and the beautiful thing is that it was a weekend and it was planned for a little bit, but like something that you didn't expect to come home to and have a little crack in your little system there.
Yeah.
Thought system. And that's cool, you know, because it goes to show you that at any point in time, and this is actually what I love about life, okay, that you never know where you're going to be, okay? Like, and that's so exciting to me that in a year from now, who knows, you know, I could be living in Europe, married.
Right,
you
exactly.
know what I mean? A year from now, I could be pregnant and having a child, you know what I mean? 3 years from now, I could be... you know, I don't know, the star of a you know, you just never know,
right.
You know, what's going to happen through different experiences that you have in
life.
Well,
that's why I'm open to so many experiences because they ultimately will lead you somewhere unless you're always doing the same thing. We've talked about ruts before.
Some people do, a lot of people actually get into like the same rut. That's why I tell people like take every opportunity that you can. Yeah. I mean, you obviously have an ethical guideline and a moral code, you know, to some extent, because you don't want to hurt people along the way. But, you know, when it's not going to, you know, obstruct any of those codes, then it's a good thing to do, you know, because it's life changing.
Yeah. And I remember like looking at my daughter. So we're in the venue planning this whole thing with the band, and she's sitting on the step with one of her favorite people in the whole world, Travis Clark, who's the lead singer of We the Kings. And they're planning this proposal. And they get into, you know, she also wanted to get a tattoo of the band's, all of the band members have this tattoo of one of their albums. It's called Smile Kid. And the cover of it has this little smiley face on it that Travis drew. So all of the band members have this little, like, cute little smiley face. And it's just two eyes and a smile, not like the circle around it or anything. And they all have this somewhere on their body. And she's like, I really want that tattoo. And I was like, well, you're 19 years old. You can do whatever the hell you want, you know. So, and I kind of planted it in her head. I think it was that Saturday when we were at my parents' house. And I was like, well, why don't you just get it this weekend? And she was like, you know what? I want it this weekend. So when we were at the venue, the manager, she was telling him, she was like, I kind of want, you know, get the tattoo this weekend. He's like, well, why don't you have Travis draw it for you? And he's like, yeah, come on in. So, you know, so she hands Travis a card and he starts like drawing the tattoo for her. He's like, yeah, this is going to be just for you. You know, this is yours. And then one of the other band members comes up and he's like, wait, you're drawing hers? He's like, I had to go on Google and find this image and to get it tattooed. And she's like, really, dude? Like, you have access to this man, like, 100% of the time, you know. It was just a really funny experience, but I'm just like watching her have this conversation and also about how meaningful some of the things that he's done for her over the years have been, some of the other drawings that he's done for her in connection with a childhood friend who had a brain tumor who had died, and something that, you know, he did that she connected with that. And that was honestly the first time that I had made that connection because of her story, her telling him that story. And it was just so heartwarming to watch her talking to, you know, one of her idols in life. And to be honest, the whole reason that we're so involved with this band is has to do with my love of the Monkees as like my entire life. And I guess if you listen to this, you probably know that I love the Monkees. And I was a huge Davy Jones fan. And he died back in 2012. Well, the first time we saw We the Kings was the New Year's Eve 2011. She said, "Mom, there's this band I want to see. They're playing at Hershey Park. It's a free concert on New Year's Eve. Can we go?" And at first I was like, no, I mean, I'd go out on New Year's Eve, you know? And I was like, and then she kind of stomped up the stairs. And then a couple days later, I was like, you know what? Yeah, let's go. Let's just go. So we grabbed a friend and we went. And we ended up just like adoring the band. They were just so fun and lively and really just real, real genuine people. And you could tell. You know, you can tell. So it was a couple months later, in March, we had tickets for a March show in New Jersey. But that year, it was a leap year, so February 29th, Davy Jones died. Mm-hmm. And I swear to God, like I don't think that. I functioned for days. Mm-hmm. I was crying. I mean, this to all of you out there, this might seem like ridiculous, but this is a man that I've just been like really close to my heart from childhood all mm-hmm. through my entire life. And I was just stunned because he was very young. He was like 62, I think.
Yeah.
And I swore I was going to marry him when I was 5 years old, but whatever. You
know? He was a cutie.
And he lived in Pennsylvania for 20 yeah. years. I mean, come on. So when we went to that show, which was that week that Davy died, and I watched my daughter just enjoying the hell out of herself with this band and kind of fangirling the way that I used to fangirl over the Monkees, I made myself a promise. And I said, I'm going to do for her what I really would have wanted my parents to do for me when it came to the Monkees. Now, of course, very different situation because the sure. Monkees were like in their 40s when mm-hmm. I was a teenager, but whatever. I just vowed to myself in that moment that was going to happen. Yeah. So, you know, when we got the opportunity to get meet and greet for life and, you know, to just go to the Warp Tour and blah, 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 like, you know, one thing leads to another. And now we had like familiarity at least with the band and,
yeah.
you know, now they know our names and now they, you know, on site, like, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. They know who we are.
Yeah.
And that's how we were able to make this whole thing happen for Caroline to wrap it back up. And it was just like you said, you never know what's going to happen. You take all the opportunities that you can. This happened as a result. So it just made my heart smile so big to know that what we did 5 years ago, what we chose to do 5 years ago, led to making somebody's dream come true, watching my daughter just, you know, be extremely happy. And it was just really heartwarming and just amazing.
Yeah. I mean, as you're explaining that, like the decision that you made 5 years ago led to someone's dream coming true on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
It was great. It was just fantastic. So it was a cool weekend. Then we went to the Philly show the next day. And for both of them, because we had meet and greet afterwards, we were up to like 2 driving home, you know, get home like 3 o'clock in the morning. And then the next day she's on a plane at 7. So
exhausting, ow. But beautiful yes. at the same time.
Yes. So I'm finally recovering and thank God it's the weekend. I think I'm going to sleep all day yes. on Saturday.
Yes. That's good. I have to get up and go to the car dealership tomorrow. But nonetheless, these are the reasons why we haven't been available for the last 2 Mondays. So we apologize. Hopefully it won't happen again. And, you know, if it does, you know, you go to the archives.
Yeah. That's and the thing is,
it's a great way to
get. We were talking about
up.
Like repurposing or maybe just like, you know, loading one up again, but I'm kind of anal. Like I don't want to get out a number order, you know, I don't want to repurpose one from, you know, 2 years ago and have it be number 76, but it's really number 14, you know, like,
I see.
Dana's not doing that.
I see what you're saying.
You get it? So you like know, anybody can just go back and listen to anything cause they're there.
Okay. I get that now. So with that being said, if we ever, you know, like we're allowed to go on vacation or something like
just
that,
catch
and
up.
We're just gonna, You know, we're just going to have to tell you that we're on vacation and to go and listen to some older episodes, and then we'll be back in a week, okay? It is what it is. If you don't like it, fuck you.
I was also thinking about doing a blooper reel, but to also be honest with you, like, we don't have that many bloopers. Not to say we're perfect, but we don't edit much.
Yeah.
There are very few times where we'll just scrap an entire episode because it's gone terribly.
Or I give out too much information
And I'm not going to be posting that.
Yeah. The moves one. Like, what are your moves? I was the only one talking between you, me, and Brad. I was the only freaking person talking, telling everybody my moves. And these two were tight-lipped.
I don't have any moves.
We're not playing that because that's way too many information. Too much information.
Too many information.
My moves. But we should do another show on moves and just...
I don't think I have moves.
Oh, you've got moves.
You know what's funny is when...
I've seen you. I've actually seen you recently.
Maybe you should tell me what my moves are.
You bat your eyes.
That's...
All right. No. Let's have a couple of glasses of wine and Dana's eyes go fucking batty for any hot guy.
Wait.
That's there.
You're giving it all away.
God forbid you're wearing... I saw you do it, you know, the other day when you were wearing at the TED Talk. Like you have the strapless jumpsuit on and you know, you looked beautiful, but like your chest comes out. Okay.
I peacock is what you're saying.
You peacock and your eyes get batty. Okay. And you start blinking and like, you know, you got this little cocky smile on your face. And then, you know, I saw you go over to this other guy and I don't know if I should even be saying this. Are you okay with me saying this right now?
I don't care.
Okay. And I'm watching
you. But you're just like, this is another episode. Are we?
Well, we'll give a little taste here. And you go over this guy and you talk to him at the bar and your back gets arched. Your chest comes out. You're peacocking. Okay. And I'm literally like, I can only imagine what your face looks like because, you know, I know what you do.
Oh, that's so funny.
Okay? I know what you do when it comes to when you think somebody is attractive.
Okay,
and it's cool. I mean, you know, obviously,
you know, what's really funny is that reminds me of when we were in Baltimore at the concert. So, before we stood in line, we went across the street to this really wonderful deli. It was like basically a meat house. You could just order like any meat that you wanted, but they also had like a restaurant/deli and a bar.
Mm-hmm.
So at the risk of just getting in trouble, we all sat at the bar because she's 19 years old, but mm-hmm. you know, she didn't order anything. She just got root beer and, we ordered some food and then like half of the band walks in and they sit right around the corner. And you know,
were you peacocking?
Well, the one is facing me. Well, actually the one comes in and he says hi to us cause he knows, you know, who we are, blah, blah, blah. But then the other one is facing me and I kind of waved across the bar and that was it. But then when we got on stage later on, and you can actually see this in the full-length video that I posted.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that he's talking to me, but you can see him talking to somebody, and it's me. You can hear him saying, like, oh, yeah, that was you, like, in the bar. He's like, well, and you started waving at me. I didn't realize that was, like, you know, he was like, I was like, why is she waving at me? I was like, really, dude? Like, I don't know. I guess I was trying to pick you up. I mean, meanwhile, he's married, but I was just, like, trying to play it off. I was like, really? Like, nobody waves at you? You're fucking in a band, like, you know, pretty yeah. well known and all that kind of stuff. I thought it was cute and funny. And then later at the meet and greet, he's like, so you're pretty much a savage. Like, you get whatever you want, right? And I was like, interesting comment by a band member here. Like, mm-hmm. it was really funny. He's like, yeah, I like that. I really like that. It was really funny because I think he like put two and two together. Like, you know, we orchestrated that whole thing
well,
to make it happen.
You've got an aggressive peacock stance. I will.
Well, savage peacock stance, according to this band.
Okay, savage peacock stance. Savage is.
I'm a savage peacock.
A savage is aggressive. So I meant the same thing. So I can see that. Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
Have you ever seen my peacock stance?
God, I know you're a savage.
Oh, that's all. We'll end on that.
Really? That's the end?
That's
all right, yeah. I guess it's over.
Two savages.
Signing off.
You know you want more. Find them on Facebook at Eat Clean, Think Dirty, the podcast, and stalk them on Twitter at Don't Eat Dirty.